A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper Doppler receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
By shortwave and satellite, this is the Dutch International Service. Media Network's Indonesian Expedition. With Jonathan Marks.
Yes, we're off on an Asian radio tour this week, more of a personal travelogue, if you like. Mind you, there are some people who believe that taking a package tour in a country like Indonesia is a rather artificial way of seeing such a fascinating archipelago. There's the danger, of course, that you'll end up sitting in an air-conditioned bus being driven from marketplace to marketplace simply to buy things, with perhaps an occasional stop for some local folk dance, which you'll photograph to stick in a holiday album. In short, say the critics, you don't get much of an insight into the culture at all. On the other hand, if you come from Europe, North America or Australia, it's nearly impossible to blend unnoticed with the local inhabitants. You look physically different from everyone else, and even if you speak fluent Indonesian, you remain a visitor. Unless you're prepared to do a lot of reading up before you go, you can waste a lot of time trying to visit a country by burying your head in a guidebook and asking the way in English. Your ignorance of local customs may lead to embarrassing situations, like trying to walk into a Hindu temple in a pair of shorts. So, not speaking much Indonesian, when my wife and I recently decided to take a holiday there, we opted for a package tour. But luckily, the 20-hour plane ride sorts out the type of people who pick such a trip. Most of our fellow travellers wanted to do more than just lie on the beach. The trip was simple. Fly to Jakarta, the nation's capital, travel across the island of Java through Bogor, Bandung and Yogyakarta, and finally, for a complete contrast, take a 2-hour plane ride to the island of Bali. That doesn't make you an Indonesia expert, of course. There are a total of 13,677 islands, if you want to try and see everything. But at least it gives you an impression. Well, this is downtown Jakarta, a metropolis of some 9 million people. Especially at this time of year, the days are hot and humid, and there's always a continual bubble of traffic. Like elsewhere in Asia, you'll find a dramatic contrast between rich and poor. The lights of the city attract the young people away from the rice fields in the countryside, and they come here, to Jakarta, in the hope of finding work. For many, though, that goal proves fruitless, and they end up making a home by the side of the road from pieces of wood and corrugated iron. On the other hand, within a few kilometres from poverty are the giant villas, built originally by the Dutch during the colonial period, and now occupied by those who have been rather more successful in this society. I'm standing in front of the radio headquarters in Jakarta, which dates back some 50 years. Before the Second World War, the Dutch set up a government broadcasting system throughout most of the archipelago. It was called the NIROM and had its headquarters at this spot in Batavia, as it was called then, the old colonial name for Jakarta. In fact, you can still see the letter B on all the license plates on the traffic going past. Well, the Japanese invaded during the Second World War, and when they were finally driven out, the Allied forces started their own radio service. Willem van den Berg was involved with Indonesian broadcasting from its early days.
As long as the British were there, it was called the AFRIP, the Allied Forces Radio in Batavia. But when they stopped with it, and that was in 1946, it was in October, we called it Radio Indonesian. Here is Batavia Radio Indonesian, which all stations did as far as they were under control of the Dutch. They said, here is Radio Indonesia Bandung or Surabaya or something like that.
But after the war, not all of the Dutch East Indies remained under Dutch control. The Republicans, who wanted independence, had their own radio voice, later to become today's Radio Republiek Indonesia. Pim Reintjes was the head of Radio Batavia in the final years of Dutch control, and recalls that the politically opposing radio station, RRI, was right next door to them. Did they have any contact with each other?
Oh, yes. We were very good friends. He had a station manager from the Republic, and I was on the other side. So Saturday morning, 1 week, I offered him coffee. Next week, he offered me coffee. And then we fought about politics. We shouted at each other, but we were very good friends.
They even swapped studio facilities, ironic in view of the politics of the day.
One day, was in 1947, then the wife of the Lieutenant Governor General, Mrs. Van Mook, wanted to congratulate Princess Juliana with her birthday. So she had to come to our studio at the Koningsplein in Batavia. But we had no studio available then at that time. So I went to my Indonesian colleague, Mr. Yusuf, and said, can you lend me a studio? And he said, of course. And then Mrs. Van Mook, the wife of the highest representative of the Netherlands government, then went into the studio of Radio Republican Radio Indonesia, confronted by all pictures of Sukarno and Hatta, and there she congratulated Princess Juliana. That was rather funny, of course. She found it funny as well.
Today, the radio headquarters of Radio Republiek Indonesia are undergoing gradual renewal. But some of the studios still have to be soundproofed, for as you listen to the external service going out in English, you can faintly hear the Indonesian announcer in the next studio cubicle reading news for the domestic service.
This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Resources for the external service are limited. Recording tape, for instance, is erased and reused so many times that a residual sea of saturated tape makes a strange whooshing sound behind many of the recorded programs.
Indonesia has been well known for hundreds of years as a country wealthy in natural resources. And this is a fact which...
The Voice of Indonesia is still scheduled to begin using a new 250-kilowatt shortwave transmitter built on the island of Sumatra, but as yet it doesn't seem to have entered regular service. But broadcasting within Indonesia is far more complex. There are basically six types of radio stations. Radio Republiek Indonesia is the government-owned network, arranged in a sort of tree structure. The main studios in Jakarta provide all the national and international news to five regional networks. For example, RRI Yogyakarta in central Java is the centre for network number two, serving mainly Java and Bali. Within each of these five networks are smaller local RRI stations too. Whilst there's a definite trend towards medium wave and VHF FM, just over 50 of these RRI stations still use the tropical shortwave bands of 60 and 90 metres to reach their more remote listeners. And that's the fascination, because shortwave being what it is, sometimes those weak signals can propagate all over the world.
Radio Republik Indonesia dengan Warta Berita dibacakan oleh Yon Mariono.
Alongside all these RRI stations are the provincial stations run by local government. These call themselves Radio Pemerintah Daerah. But because they use very low power transmitters of less than 50 watts, even the ones that use shortwave don't usually propagate much further than nearby northern Australia. Then there are the forces stations, again low power, run for and by the military. Fourth on the list come the private commercial radio stations, none of which operate on shortwave, just medium wave and FM. Spin the dial in Jakarta and you'll hear that Western music has certainly arrived in the metropolis.
Hari ini sungguh menyenangkan bukan? Dengan iringan musik-musik cantik serta terkualitas dari Ramak FM Stereo. Tentu saja Reti masih setia menemani Anda sampai jam 17.
Benar. Bila Anda membandingkan hasilnya, kami yakin pasti Anda akan memilih film baru Koda Gold. Koda Gold ternyata tajam dan paling
benar. Selama bulan Maret sampai dengan Mei 87, bagi pengunjung ruang pamer Toyota akan mendapat hadiah menarik dari Maradona.
U luistert nog steeds naar uw favoriete radiostation, Ramako FM Stereo.
Maybe you spotted the adverts for film and a car brand there. And also the last station identification in Dutch. Although you'll still find a lot of Dutch industry working in Indonesia, take the beer breweries for instance, you won't find any Dutch language programs on the radio. English is now the main foreign language taught in schools. It is, after all, more international. And finally, you have several thousand pirate radio stations, although the definition of pirate is rather vague. As Hugh Waters, a regular shortwave listener who lives in Singapore, now explains, it can vary from an enthusiastic college student who wants to play music for his friends in the same street to someone who buys a cheap portable transceiver to gossip.
It's a bit of a nuisance for me if I'm listening to certain allocated tropical bands to find various stations, and I cannot always identify them as Indonesian unauthorized broadcasters, but it could be Malays as well. There's some distinction between the Indonesian and Malay language. But it seems to be that they're operating as they wish. Anywhere on the frequency, if there's a blank spot, they'll just turn on their portable rigs or walkie-talkies and fire away.
And what are they doing? Are they talking from island to island, or are they actually broadcasting music and making programs for listeners?
Well, they're both categories. There are sometimes it could be a father who is a fisherman or a ship operator. He may be communicating with his wife with a walkie-talkie, one of his small transceivers.
And this is all on shortwave, not VHF?
That's right. It could be between 2 and 6 megahertz, even, well, it's upper sideband, often lower sideband. Just it's not very predictable.
In fact, sometimes the conversations you overhear can be quite rude. With the exception of pirate stations, all the other broadcasters, be they commercial, military, or part of the Radio Republik network, have to carry relays of news from Jakarta at certain times of the day. Commercial stations are not allowed to make their own news. So at the appointed times, they simply tune in a radio to the local RRI station and feed the output into their own transmitter. As you spin the dial during these periods, you'll hear all the stations carrying the same news with a remarkable variation in audio quality.
Ketua Dewan Pertimbangan Agung M. Pangkal Jakarta menerima kunjungan pembicaraan mengenai masalah-masalah hubungan timbal balik.
Ketua DPA M. Panggabean mengatakan Indonesia dan Papua New Guinea sedang menjajaki kemungkinan kerjasama di berbagai...
But now we leave the steamy heat of Jakarta and take the bus to Bogor. The scenery changes, and in my opinion, you start to see the real Indonesia. We took the time to visit the magnificent botanical gardens right in the town centre. And then it was on to Bandung before evening. Bandung, surrounded by hot water springs as a result of volcanic activity. If you can stand the strong smell of sulphur, it's worth climbing down one of the mountains to see the bubbling, burping spring. Bandung is curious because it's preserved its colonial Dutch past. In fact, as you take a walk past the giant European-style villas on a cool afternoon, you could quite easily be back in Holland. It was in Bandung back in 1925 that an enthusiastic shortwave listener first heard the Philips transmitter in Eindhoven, Holland, making tests from Europe. And as a result of his enthusiastic telegram, Philips decided to set up a shortwave commercial radio enterprise in Huizen, Holland. It was known as the FOEI and was designed to entertain the Dutch East Indies, as well as sell a few more Philips radios, of course. Bandung, though, is also the city where the new nations of Africa and Asia met back in 1955 for the first non-aligned conference. Radio Republik Indonesia Bandung gets its national news from Jakarta via the Indonesian Palapa satellite, though as you can hear, the quality is only that of a telephone. The music just before the time signal is a cue to all the other stations who have to relay the news that the bulletin is about to start.
Radio Republik Indonesia Bandung selanjutnya mengikuti aneka berita setelah tengah waktu pukul 22 waktu Indonesia Barat.
Radio Republik Indonesia dengan aneka berita.
Mind you, not all the commercial stations switch to the news on time. They simply fade it up when they're ready.
100.5 KLCBS. Tarkan pada filtra quick quiz malam hari ini.
Sehingga memungkinkan mereka bertahan di Arab Saudi sampai musim haji mendatang.
Quite a few foreign stations broadcast in Indonesian, and sitting on the balcony of the hotel in Bandung, as dusk fell and the rain came pouring down, it was interesting to scan the shortwave dial. With a population of 160 million that's rising all the time, many nations feel the need to address the Indonesian audience. At first, it seems strange that Saudi Arabia should want to broadcast in Indonesian, but remember that 90% of the Indonesian population is Muslim. Only on Bali has the Hindu religion held its own. Radio Netherlands has programs in Indonesian, so does the BBC, Voice of America, the Deutsche Welle, and Radio Australia regards Indonesia as one of its prime target areas.
Rombongan The Jets, lagu yang keempat atau lagu terakhir pada
Australia's 49-meter band outlet is widely heard. But to keep the market, shortwave broadcasters have to supply international news and lots of new music for the youth. Most of Indonesia is flooded with cassette tapes, many of the international albums being pirated copies imported from Singapore. Nobody plays records anymore. You'll also find Radio Beijing on the dial.
Old box. 11036 Hong Kong. Inilah Radio Beijing.
Indonesia is fervently anti-communist, so listeners to Radio Beijing are told at the end of the Indonesian language broadcast to write to a post office box in Hong Kong. It's 5:30 in the morning. Time to take what must be the most spectacular train journey you can take, from Bandung to Yogyakarta. It takes 8 hours as the train winds its way past the rice paddy fields, through the mountains, back down to the plains. The temperature rises, but because the train has no windows, it's quite exhilarating to watch the scenery trundle past. There's a breeze in your face, and the engine continually sounds its horn to warn those walking on the tracks to get out of the way. What with the open windows, I even tried listening to some of the radio stations on a small portable radio. You can pick up a cheap Taiwanese-made shortwave portable for as little as $20. Its performance is rather poor by our standards, but then European standards don't mean all that much in that part of the world. All roads in central Java seem to lead to the ancient white-walled city of Yogyakarta. The city is famous for the silversmiths, whose intricate jewellery displays exceptional skill. It certainly can't be matched in Europe. Then there's the brightly coloured dyed cloth called batik, the gamelan music, and the shadow play, whose performances can last throughout the night. Yogyakarta was founded back in 1755, and still has a sultan who retains some of his political power. It was ruled for a time by the British. In fact, there's still a bit of English left each day on Radio Republik Indonesia's local station. but I think the music they use is an old disc left over from the Dutch era. To the locals, at least, it sounds European.
Good evening, listeners. 18:30 West Indonesian time now, and this is Radio Republik Indonesia Yogyakarta presenting the English service on its FM transmitter of 103.107 MHz and the 59.43, 127.6, 271 meter bands. This evening's program will be the news concluded by music. Here is the news read by Utari. The headlines. This morning, the Central Java Governor Mr. Ismail inaugurated Banyumukti Bridge in Sukoharjo Regency. Ambarawa Train Museum.
Fascinating news, don't you think, for the passing tourists? In fact, just to digress back to Jakarta for a moment, you can see how television is developing and English is becoming an important foreign language for Indonesians to learn. Each night, Channel 2 carries a half-hour newscast.
Good evening. This is the 6:30 report and this is Tengku Malinda with the news. First, the headlines. A pro-Iranian kidnap group extends...
Virtually all the pictures for the bulletin come from VisNews, a commercial television news organisation in London, England. As a result, you see some surprisingly detailed coverage of mishaps in the British Midlands, whereas coverage of Asian affairs in general is virtually non-existent. Mind you, if an important political leader is visiting Indonesia, this gets wide coverage on the English news too. If you live outside the major population centres, though, shortwave radio is still important. But reception on the tropical bands is severely marred during a thunderstorm.
Republik Indonesia Surabaya memberita Kota Gerbang Kertosusila.
And so we take the plane to Bali to visit some of the Hindu temples and spend a few days on a secluded beach for which the island is famous. The airport is right by the water's edge, so coming into land, you feel that the plane is going to crash into the clear blue water. The capital Denpasar has its own RRI station.
Selanjutnya Radio Republik Indonesia Stasiun Denpasar menanti tepat pukul 18 waktu Indonesia Barat saat kami sampaikan berita regional Nusa Tenggara.
That Westminster chime harks back to the Dutch colonial days. Pim Ranches recalls that it was used for time checks on Radio Batavia. Not very accurate ones, though.
We had a clock. We had a clock, big band clock, wooden clock, and we had a gramophone needle in the wood, and so we could take the sound. And every hour you heard bim, bam, big band in the country. And it was, everybody liked it. But then, for instance, the year of 47 started 5 minutes late because we didn't want to stop the actual cabaret program going on before midnight. So we made midnight 4 or 5 minutes past midnight. We stopped the clock and started it again when the program was finished, you see.
Back to the present, and even on the small island of Bali, there's a multitude of commercial stations, one of which sounds as though the owner has been collecting American jingle tapes of the 1960s.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Music Rock,
radio station in town. Casanova, 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 Casanova. Yeah, yeah, what I say.
I've only touched on a few aspects of Indonesian radio. The closer you are to this archipelago, the more stations you'll find coming through on the radio. But with a gradual move to FM and medium wave, and away from shortwave, if you want to search for these stations on the dial, now's the time to start doing so. There are several excellent English language travel books on the country. Southeast Asia on a Shoestring by Tony Wheeler has some practical advice on Indonesia. It was last reprinted in 1985. And in July of this year, a reprint of the commendable Indonesia Handbook by Bill Dalton will be released by Moon Publications of Rutland, Vermont, USA. Well-known radio listener David Foster wrote an excellent article on Indonesian radio in the 1984 World Radio TV Handbook. The Australian Radio DX Club have put together two publications of interest to listeners trying to find Indonesian stations, whilst Jerry Dexter, a prolific North American radio publisher, has come out with a book called Language Lab, which will help you write intelligent reception reports in Indonesian without having to have a deep understanding of the language. Mind you, if you're really keen, you'll find Indonesian quite easy to learn. Rather than read names and addresses over the air now, we've just revised a free 12-page pamphlet called DXing Indonesia. In it, you'll find a lot of background information on the media, as well as a reception report guide and sources of further information. DXing Indonesia is at the printers at the moment, together with a new receiver shopping list. We hope that they'll be available towards the end of this month. For the moment, on behalf of the team, this is Jonathan Mark saying back soon. Bye for now. Where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website.
This is Media Network with Jonathan Marks,
where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network program. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
I regret to inform you this recording is now officially over.